Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, this is the Highland Radio News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. This evening's main headlines, the PRO of the Mica Action Group has criticised comments made internally by civil servants regarding campaigners' demands for 100% redress. A Donegal minister has defended the Taoiseach over not meeting with children at yesterday's Mica protest in the capital, and the chairperson of Donegal ETB has written to the children's minister outlining the effect the issue of Mica is having on students and staff alike. And the CEO of the Sealta Hospital Group has said they're monitoring Letterkenny University Hospital closely amid ongoing bed pressure at the facility. We'll have those stories in full and a lot more, as well as the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin, coming up for you within the next half hour. Back to our main story this evening, however, and the PRO of the Mica Action Group has criticised comments made internally by civil servants regarding campaigners' demands for 100% Mica redress. Michael Doherty's comments today came after a Freedom of Information request from RTE News revealed internal comments from civil servants calling demands from homeowners' representatives as off the scale, as well as expressing very serious concerns with their demands. The email exchanges also included concerns over the costs involved in any potential 100% scheme. PRO of the Mica Action Group, Michael Doherty, has described their internal comments as unprofessional and also called into question leaked internal government costings that suggested any 100% scheme could cost the taxpayer up to €3.2 billion.
For civil servants to use terms like off the scale, you know, how unprofessional does it get? You know, the 3.2 billion you referred to there earlier, we reverse engineered that number and we know where that number has now come from. Mm-hmm. It's their 6,600 houses that they estimate between Donegal and Mayo. They have allowed for complete demolition of every one of them houses, and they have assumed that every one of them houses were going to trigger a €500,000 cap, which we know will not be the case. So it was scaremongering at its best, and it gave them a 3.2 billion number that they knew would be somewhat of a shock to many throughout the land. And it had some traction, but we reversed a lot of that. The mansion on the hill type stuff, we were able to put science to, as opposed to runaway statements by civil servants that should know better. And it showed clearly we were sitting in mid-table, and actual construction costs was the second lowest county in the land. So they're just very lucky. The Exchequer is very lucky that this is not happening across the Midland counties and the eastern seaboard counties, or it would be an awful lot more than what it is right now. So I think it's in poor taste. I think it shows the pressure that they're under from politicians, which is exactly the battle that we wanted. And I think there's a battle royale going on between them right now, and they're starting to squeak, and we're starting to see this, you know, very underhanded type approach seeping through the pores now, and it's exposing them.
A Donegal minister has defended the Taoiseach over not meeting with children at yesterday's Mica protest in the capital. Over 50 children from Donegal spent most of the afternoon protesting at the gates of Leinster House. Some government ministers and TDs came out to speak to them and collected the letters the children penned calling for a 100% Mica redress scheme. In the Dáil yesterday, Micheál Martin said he was not invited to meet with the protesters, yet campaigners say they did their best to contact him via both email and phone. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Minister Charlie McConlogue said that Micheál Martin was not aware he was invited and described the controversy over his lack of attendance at the protest as a red herring.
I think in many ways it's a bit of a red herring. Obviously the Taoiseach wasn't aware that he got that email. As you can understand, the Taoiseach will be getting hundreds and thousands of emails in a week. And many of the children came down and they had letters addressed for the Minister for Children and the Minister for Education. And I had been asked to bring the Minister for Education and the Minister for Children by the families to come and meet them. So I spoke to Minister Foley and spoke to Minister Gorman, and the three of us went out to meet with the families together and to meet with them. And both Minister Foley and Minister Gorman spoke with many of the children, and I spent a long time there speaking to them all, and their parents, and also addressed all of the children and explained to them how I'm working so hard and how the government is working very hard to get the scheme right to fix their homes. So the Taoiseach, just to let you know, the Taoiseach did this press conference, that the funding, he did that press conference with me from 9:30 till half 10 yesterday morning. He had to leave the press conference early to go and do leaders' questions. I stayed on till 11. The Taoiseach was then in the Dáil chamber from 12 until half 3 yesterday. So on Taoiseach's business tied to the Dáil chamber. So that was the reality facing the Taoiseach. He obviously hadn't seen that email that came in, but given the time frame and the fact he was actually tied to the Dáil chamber, and indeed during that period in the Dáil chamber, answered many questions on MICA and confirmed his commitment and the government's commitment to working to deliver for families here.
Okay, Minister.
That's the key objective. So, that's what the focus is on. And I think, I'd stay focused on that.
The chairperson of the Donegal ETB has written to the Children's Minister, outlining the effect the issue of MICA is having on students and staff alike. Councillor Albert Doherty wrote the letter, seeking support for students and learners, as well as school communities that continue to live with MICA. The correspondence details the increased stress being felt by families with school management, reporting that students are finding it difficult to concentrate and are experiencing heightened emotions. Councillor Doherty has requested government support to implement a number of measures in schools.
I thought it was important that the ETB was there to support the students, the learners, and the school communities, and to tell Minister O'Gorman, part of the present coalition government, that he is an essential response to make now to the children of Donegal in relation to the pressures that are on family as a result of MICA.
And you've highlighted the need for government support in this.
Following many management meetings and board meetings, we have found that children are arriving in their school with their worries and their concerns of their adults. They are worried about the future of their family. They realise the significant financial investment that their parents already made and now have to make again because of the heartbreaking presence of MICA. The staff members themselves are also victims of the MICA, and we acknowledge and we know in the ETB that it's important to have all staff members in school working to their full potential, and that the positive well-being of our staff is very important for us. So we have sought additional guidance counsellors. We've sought additional support from home school liaison, support finance with book rentals, focusing on the mental issues and pressures. We've asked that there be increased NEPS allocation to the schools and an increased allocation to the school completion programme here in Donegal.
The CEO of the Cilta Hospital Group has said they're monitoring Letterkenny University Hospital closely amid ongoing bed pressure at the facility. It comes as the hospital was the most overcrowded in Ireland today, with 46 people awaiting admission there. Tony Cavanagh says they will be seeking further clarity as to why the emergency department in Letterkenny is experiencing such a large number of people now presenting to it. Mr. Cavanagh says while Letterkenny is not an outlier in terms of experiencing a high volume of patients, general practice, the hospitals and community services in Donegal will all need to be looked at as part of an overall system to meet people's healthcare needs.
Well, first of all, what I would say is that we are absolutely aware that general practitioners throughout the country and throughout all of Donegal and Sligo, they are extremely busy. If we were to be talking to anyone this morning, they would say that they are also seeing higher levels of attendances at their clinics and at their surgeries than they would have seen previously. So they are extremely busy in general practice as well. And I think what we need to do is we need to look at general practice and the hospitals and our community services as just part of an overall system that needs to work as best we can together to meet patient needs. So there are some patients that turn up at our emergency departments for sure that could receive care, appropriate care with their general practitioner, and we would encourage them to do that when they can. But I think, to be fair, the vast majority of people turning up at our emergency departments in Letterkenny and in Sligo are people who need to be there, the vast majority of them, and we can see that in terms of the patients that are being admitted then into hospital afterwards.
The situation in hospitals across the country at present is extremely dangerous, according to the INMO. 448 people are now in hospitals nationally with COVID-19, with 88 of those patients now in ICU. Stephanie Rowan has this report.
The Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation says the situation in hospitals at present is what they'd usually see in the depth of winter, and it's only October. 88 patients are in hospital with COVID, with HSE warning this is likely to increase. It compares to 56 at the start of this month and is the highest figure since March. General Secretary of the INMO, Philney Hay, says the situation is precarious.
We've been flagging since mid-July that these numbers are going the wrong way. Combining that with an airborne infection, we're saying this is extremely, extremely dangerous.
And she's warning if healthcare workers don't get a booster jab, the situation will only get worse.
And we've seen now, unfortunately, the infection rate among healthcare workers on the increase again. That's very worrying. And when you combine that with all of the evidence that we have a decreasing efficacy of some of the vaccines and healthcare workers got their vaccines very early, we've obviously been looking for an immediate answer on the booster for healthcare workers.
The head of the HSC, Paul Reid, says the situation in critical care can be turned around with heightened individual and collective awareness.
The leader of the SDLP, Colm Eastwood, has said a centenary event in Armagh today was in no way a celebration of partition. Political and church leaders from across the island gathered to mark 100 years since the foundation of Northern Ireland. Sean Defoe has more.
A cloud of political controversy hung over this event after President Michael D. Higgins declined an invitation, saying its title was political. But the service itself was anything but, with Archbishop Eamon Martin's comments the closest thing to a political statement.
When I look back on what happened on this island in 1921, I do so with a deep sense of loss.
Instead, church leaders spoke of a collaborative future, and students like 14-year-old Sean McCourt Kelly gave their view.
I know that there has been a lot of progress in building peace and relationships since 1998, but speaking as a young person, I believe there's still so much more that can be done.
Afterwards, SDLP leader Colm Eastwood rejected the idea nationalists should have boycotted an event marking the partition of Ireland, and DUP leader Geoffrey Donaldson said it would have been better had President Higgins attended.
Well, I think it's been an opportunity for those of us who have been here today, and I think it is a missed opportunity for those who chose not to come.
Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney and Chief Whip Jack Chambers represented the government at an event also attended by the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Sean Defoe in Armagh.
The time is now 12 minutes past five. We'll take a quick break, and Sport with Kenny is coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get the Donegal GAA supporters gift box now at michaelmurphysports.ie.
The time is now 5:15. Time to go over to the sports desk and Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Daniel. Starting with Gaelic Games and Donegal GAA. We'll meet this evening to debate the motions set out for this week's special Congress. The county executive will discuss should they support the proposals to change the format of the football championship. Several counties like Meath, Kildare, Tipperary, Clare and Wexford have backed proposal B, but further north there will be opposition. On Wednesday night, Armagh said they would vote against both motions. Donegal could take a similar approach to Kerry and wait until all arguments are heard at Croke Park before deciding their delegates' vote. Moving on to soccer, and Vera Pauw says her Republic of Ireland side can't afford to make mistakes tonight. They opened their World Cup qualifying campaign with the visit of Sweden to the Tallaght Stadium. The Swedes are ranked number 2 in the world and reached the final of this summer's Olympics. So Pauw knows they can't afford any slip-ups.
As long as we don't make mistakes, as we don't give anything away, and if we are playing at the top of our game, and then we'll see how the result will go.
Kick-off tonight's at 7 o'clock. Elsewhere, West Ham and Rangers are both in Europa League action this evening. David Moyes' Hammers play host to Genk in Group H from 8 o'clock. At the same time, Rangers host Brøndby in Group A. Tottenham, they have taken a second-string squad to the Netherlands for this evening's Conference League game with Vitesse Arnhem, 5:45 the kick-off time in that one. In other news, the Republic of Ireland men's team have dropped one place to 51st in the latest FIFA World Rankings issued today. Belgium are still top ahead of Brazil. World champions France and European champions Italy are the next. England, they're 5th. Wales are 19th. Scotland are 42nd. And Northern Ireland, 58th. In rugby, Ireland's new women's head coach, Greg Williams, Mick McWilliams, hopes the team can build momentum next month before he takes over. The former assistant coach under Philip Doyle will take over from Adam Griggs after the games with the United States and Japan. Griggs moves into a provincial talent job with Leinster. And Jonathan Sexton, he misses Leinster's United Rugby Championship trip to Glasgow tomorrow night. The 36-year-old is recovering from a hip injury. Head coach Leo Cullen has made 6 changes to the side, which beat the Scarlets last weekend. In golf, Jonathan Caldwell's just four shots off the lead on the opening day of the Mallorca Open. The County Down golfer shot a 4-under par round of 66. Denmark's Jeff Winter is the clubhouse leader on 8-under par. Paul Dunn's in the clubhouse on 3-under par. Cormac Shervin finished he's out in the course after 13 holes. He's in level par. Niall Kearney is finished at 1-over and Gavin Moynan finished on 7-over par. In ladies golf, the BMW Ladies Championship has taken place in Korea on the LPGA Tour this week. Leona Maguire got off to a good start. She's 2-under par after a round of 70 today. She needs a top 6 finish to keep her hopes of Rookie of the Year alive. She's 6 shots off the lead, which is held by Korea's Na Rin An, who's on 8-under par. In horse racing, Grand National winning jockey Rachel Blackmore will return to the saddle at Galway on Saturday. The Tipperary native will ride Balco de Flo in a national hurdle for trainer Henry de Bromhead. Blackmore has spent over 3 months on the sidelines after sustaining a fractured ankle and a hip injury following a fall in Killarney in July. And in hockey, Ireland's women are a step closer to the World Cup qualification. Today's 4-1 victory over France and Pisa books them a European qualifier semi-final with Belarus. Ireland need to win that game and Sunday's final to qualify for next summer's finals. Finally, for this evening on the score this week, Oisin Kelly's joined by Brenton Kilcoyne to look ahead to another big weekend of championship action here in the county. Declan Boner, he talks Stephen Rochford, club championship and Proposal B ahead of Congress. Karen Guthrie looks ahead to Glenfinn's Ulster tie with Donna Moyne. And Gavin Cullen is this week's guest on our League of Ireland chat. That's the score programme after the 7 o'clock news. Back to Daniel.
Thanks, Kenny. Back to news now, and the Health Minister must ensure that maternity hospitals comply with new guidance around support partners. That's according to Maternity Rights Group. Support partners are to be allowed access to maternity units between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. every day from next month. 24-hour access will be given to partners in distressing circumstances or if delivery is expected. Chairperson of the AIMS, Dr. Cretia Lynch, says hospital compliance with the new guidance is now their biggest concern.
It's anybody's guess now to what extent compliance is going to be sought and to what extent compliance is going to be adhered to what extent compliance is going to be maintained. It's really the $64 million question, isn't it, whether we're going to have compliance or not. And I would urge the minister to ensure compliance on this, because really, pregnant and birthing people have just had enough at this stage.
Pub representatives have criticised chaotic delays in publishing new guidance for the sector. The new guidelines are due to be released later today, and it's expected to include allowing multiple bookings in pubs and restaurants. The live events sector is pushing for standing-only gigs to get the green light, and it's still unclear if nightclubs can offer bar service or not. Donal O'Keefe, the CEO of the Licensed Vintners Association, says they want to move away from table service in pubs and restaurants.
Clearly, we are advocating that full use of the bar counter be permitted in the context where all customers on the premises are 100% vaccinated. We urgently need the operational guidelines for late bars and nightclubs, which are due to open tomorrow after an incredible 585 days of closure.
The number of Gardaí assigned to the Donegal Garda Division has dropped in the last year. Figures revealed in the Dáil today show that as of September 2021, there were 449 Gardaí stationed in Donegal. That's compared to 462 in 2020, a decrease of 13. There's serious concern that the likes of County Longford have more Gardaí, even though Donegal is much bigger in size. In the Dáil today, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's a worrying situation.
I think it's interesting listening to the figures that have been outlined there in relation to the number of Gardaí in Donegal. When you compare it to previous questions, where you had similar numbers in relation to, for example, Longford, where Donegal has three times the population and is probably four or five times the size of Longford, but has a lesser proportionate number of Gardaí available to it. And that's a very worrying situation, particularly for my own area in Killybegs in the southwest of the county, from an area that includes Killybegs, Glenties, Ardragh, as the larger towns. There's basically two Gardaí on duty in the whole area, which serves probably about 30 or 40,000 people. Probably it's nearly as many people as in Longford, and there's only two Gardaí on duty, and the fact that people can't go, guards can't go and answer calls because they haven't got the numbers to do it. Okay. That's very worrying, and thanks, I think that needs to be addressed. Basically, on the figures that you provided there now today, compared to other questions that have been today, it doesn't seem to be fair. And I would ask that you would impress on the Garda authorities that it has to be fair, and it has to be every part of the country has to be policed in the same way. And it's important for community safety and community feeling of response that they actually can see the Garda are there and available, and that's very important. And I would ask that you would just seek assurances from the Commissioner that Donegal hasn't been less policed than other parts of the country.
And speaking on behalf of the Justice Minister, TD James Brown says it's hoped that additional Gardaí being sought in the year ahead will be distributed in a fair manner.
Obviously the deployment of Gardaí is a matter for the Garda Commissioner, but I would hope that with the additional Gardaí going into training this year and next year, that those additional Gardaí to be provided to Commissioner will be distributed as they are necessary right throughout the country. I know Donegal well, and a little bit similar to my own county of Wexford. It's a long county with lots of towns spread throughout, as opposed to being one major metropolis within the county. So I, as I say, I've no say in where Gardaí are deployment, but I hope the additional Gardaí will be distributed in a fair manner.
And now the weather this evening. It'll be cool and breezy for the rest of the day, with some bright spells and isolated showers. Cloud will gradually increase from the west towards night. It'll be mostly cloudy tonight, with scattered showers and just a few clear spells. Lowest temperatures will fall between 4 and 7 degrees overnight tonight. This evening's main headlines once again. The PRO of the Mica Action Group has criticised comments made internally by civil servants regarding campaigners' demand for 100% redress. Mica Doherty's comments have came today after a Freedom of Information request showed internal comments from civil servants calling demands from homeowners as off the scale. A Donegal minister has defended the Taoiseach over not meeting with children at yesterday's Mica protest in the capital. Minister Charlie McConlogue said that Micheál Martin was not aware he was invited and described the controversy over his lack of attendance as a red herring. The chairperson of Donegal ETB has written to the Children's Minister outlining the effect the issue of Mica is having on students and staff alike. Councillor Albert Doherty wrote the letter seeking support for students as well as school communities that continue to live with the Mica crisis. And the CEO of the Saint Lita Hospital Group says they're monitoring Letterkenny University Hospital closely amid ongoing bed pressure at the facility. It comes as the hospital was the most overcrowded in Ireland today, with 46 people awaiting admission there. That's all from the Highland Radio News Desk for now. We'll have the latest headlines again for you coming up at 6 o'clock. But until then, good evening. The obituary notices for Thursday evening, October the 21st. The death has taken place of Rosaline Molloy, Lochroad, Milford. Her remains will repose at her home, house private this evening, Thursday. Neighbours and friends welcome from 12 noon tomorrow, Friday. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in St Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the church webcam at churchservices.tv/Milford. Family flowers only, donations if desired to RSC Donal Patients Comfort Fund, care of Patrick Sweeney, funeral directors. The death has occurred at his home of John McFadden, Calhame, Annagree. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Please adhere to guidelines regarding social distancing, handshaking and wearing of masks in the wake house and the church. The death has occurred of Johnny Bonner, Meandrain, Dunlow. His remains will repose at his late residence. House private to family and friends only, please. Funeral mass on Saturday at 10 a.m. in St Patrick's Church, Mina Cross, with interment afterwards in Dunlow Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Sean Miglin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Charles Oliver Charlie McDade of Ashgrove Park, Altnagalvin. Family and friends are welcome to pay their respects at W.J. O'Brien and Sons Funeral Home, 110 Cluny Road, Eglinton, today from 5 to 6 p.m. Requiem Mass will be celebrated in St Mary's Church, Ardmore, tomorrow at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House strictly private, please. Family Fires Only, donations if wished to the Foyle Hospice. The death has taken place of Charlie Neeson, 67 Parkside Gardens, Sion Mills. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow afternoon at 1:20 p.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 2 p.m. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the parish webcam at churchmedia.tv. And the death has occurred of John Joseph Doherty, Block 5, Port Hall, Lifford. John's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10 a.m, going via Port Hall, travelling back to Block 5, onto Maggie's Tavern, then going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers welcome, donations if desired to the Little Angels School and Donegal Down Syndrome Association, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors, Oakfield Refoe.